My guest at this time is Matthew Staver. He is the founder and chairman of Liberty Council. He joins me now to offer his reaction to the Trump administration rescinding the Obama administration directive, mandating a comprehensive transgender accommodation policy for all public schools at the threat of losing out on federal dollars if they don't comply. But while that is good news for social conservatives like Mr. Staver, the fight is now going to move to the state and local level and also the Supreme Court. And Matt, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
First of all, your reaction. I'm sure you're pleased with the Trump administration through the Justice Department deciding to rescind the Obama order. What was your reaction when you heard the news this week?
Well, I was very pleased with this decision because the Obama order was lawless and frankly harmful to students that will be subjected to their privacy invasion and, frankly, even personal security and safety, because you'll have boys going into girls' restrooms, locker rooms, and shower rooms, and even in overnight away from school campus stays, they would be able to then sleep with the girls. So this was an unwise policy from the beginning, but it was also lawless. It has no basis in Title IX or any other federal law regarding non-discrimination. So this was a great move from President Trump. You know, there's such a big backlash about this in the liberal media, like there is something horrible that he did. Well, frankly, he's just following the law. The law does not include gender identity or sexual orientation or gender expression or whatever you want to say to these non-discrimination categories. That was not the intent of the law in 1972 for Title IX or 1964 for the Civil Rights Act. And Congress has repeatedly rejected attempts to include those terms. So it's very clear that what Obama did was lawless, and what President Trump did is simply enforce the law.
So in reaction to this news, there might be some social conservatives out there who think, oh, well, we won. Well, the fight still goes on a number of fronts, so I want to get your reaction to each of them. First of all, the Supreme Court. There will be a case coming up in the not-too-distant future which could potentially reimpose this in the minds of some. What, bring our listeners up to date on the case and what you expect the court to say in response to it.
Well, it's possible that the court could just simply punt on this and dismiss the case because of this new development. One of the questions before the Supreme Court is, should they give deference to the administrative agencies for interpreting the statute? Well, that administrative agency is gone back to the original intent of the statute. The other is whether Title IX on its own includes gender identity. Well, it certainly does not. I think what the court could do because of the 4-4 potential split is just simply not decide the case. They might just simply dismiss it and wait for another day when there's a fifth justice potentially to break that tie vote. We don't know. We'll have to wait and see what the court will do. But the good thing is that this comes at a good time for a case that I'm arguing next week before the Virginia Supreme Court. In the next few days, I'll argue before the Virginia Supreme Court on the Fairfax County case. And that's a school board in Northern Virginia that on its own included gender identity, sexual orientation, and gender expression to its policies. Virginia doesn't allow that. It has to be set at the state level, not at the local level, for good reason. They violated the law, and they tried to impose it on the students and the parents. We have filed suit, and now that case will be argued at the Virginia Supreme Court.
Matt, talk about that a little bit more, because you went into your own case, which is exactly where I was headed after the Supreme Court. Are we going to see a lot of local court fights that might rise up to the state Supreme Court as it is in Virginia? Or will cases like yours perhaps be setting some precedent, not only in the Commonwealth, but perhaps elsewhere?
Well, it could set precedent elsewhere. Our case deals with something that many states have, and that is that these non-discrimination categories have to be set at the state level, not at the local level. You don't want to have different policies at the state, county, and local level all conflicting with one another. So it's a well-reasoned policy to have this uniform non-discrimination policy. In fact, just a couple of days ago, the Arkansas Supreme Court came down with the same thing. Fayetteville added gender identity to its non-discrimination policy. The Arkansas Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that. It has to be set at the state level. That's exactly what I'm arguing before the Virginia Supreme Court. So these cases will certainly do battle on the state level. But I tell you what, removing this lawless directive from the Obama administration will do a lot to get the federal government off the backs of these local schools.
Matt, let's talk a little bit about local communities. Now, a lot of people, of course, know who the president is. They might know their senator and congressman. Unless they're their neighbors, they might not have a great idea who is on the school board, and oftentimes they kind of ignore those elections. Now that this has been decentralized from the federal government and sent back to states and perhaps local communities, how important is it for folks to get involved at their local school board?
Well, it's very important to get involved at the local school board because you can stop these policies before they occur. And that's the first line of defense. You need good people at the school board, not just for these policies, but for other things as well. But we need good Christians and people of moral values to be in these school boards all across the country.
Matt, what about the argument that we saw from the Trump administration? Now, for the most part, all the arguments we've seen is that this should be decided by the states. They didn't really get into the merits of it or the cultural repercussions of it. Was that the smart way to go?
Well, it's a good way to go for the federal government. The federal government shouldn't be involved in a lot of these things, so they need to back off, and many of these things need to go down to the states. However, there are certain things that really transcend even the state. Life transcends the state. Even if you have 100% unanimous vote of the people, you have no right to create human genocide. Those are higher law principles. Martin Luther King Jr. spoke about those in the letter from Birmingham Jail that goes back all the way through Western legal tradition. The issue of the deconstruction of marriage and gender, that really should not be a right of the state either. I mean, this is part of the natural created order, just as much as gravity is part of the natural created order. It's silly to try to deconstruct something that's obvious.
And lastly, in the only attributed statement I've seen to Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, she called it a major federal overreach. That is to be corrected. However, there were several reports that you may have seen out there in the past few days that she actually resisted this effort to rescind the Obama order, and it was ultimately the president who sided with Attorney General Jeff Sessions to make this go forward. What do you know about that, and what does it tell you if she did, in fact, oppose this?
Well, I don't know. I do know that Reince Priebus said that there was no daylight between Betsy DeVos and the rest of the cabinet, including the Attorney General and President Trump. However, I also know that there have been some statements that Betsy DeVos has made in the past during the confirmation hearings in which she somewhat distanced herself from the other family members with regards to their opposition to the whole LGBT agenda. Whether she did that because of the confirmation process, I don't know. But there's been those two things that just raise a little bit of concern, and perhaps she just needs to have more education on this issue.
Matt? A lot of work to do. You have to get busy for your case next week. We'll certainly follow up with you after that. Thanks very much for your time.
Thanks. My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Matthew Staver is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.